So I hope Valerie can keep me on the wall. The power of a mother. There's an old story of a boy who was kind of trying to act like he was, you know, better than somebody else and those kinds of things. And it got down to this thing of they'd gone through all of their abilities and powers and things. And the one boy said to his friend, "My dad can beat up your dad." The little boy said, "That ain't nothing. My mom can beat up my dad." That's not the power of a mother that I'm talking about today. And I realize Mother's Day is a celebration for many. It's a sadness for others. But today we're going to focus on this potential passage with Jesus and a mother. So I pray that God will bless you in your day. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21, it says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" You may have a translation that says, "sorely vexed by the devil." "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's tables.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." This is a strange interaction between Jesus, his disciples, and this needy mother. At first blush, in reading this, you're thinking, how, what was Jesus? What word would you use to describe Jesus in the beginning of this passage? Just be honest. Uncompassionate. What's another word? Arrogant, okay? Cruel is the one that comes to me. Have you ever had someone come and ask you for help, or you've gone to ask someone for help and you were just so desperate and they just dismissed you? What would you do? I'd either slink off and go cry myself to sleep or punch him in the nose. I'm just telling you. Sure. And so, and even his disciples says, "Send her away, for she cries after us." What's another way to say that? She's crazy. Tell her to go away. She is annoying. Well, let's look at some things. This Canaanite woman was a perceptive mother. Here's why. She saw that her daughter had a spiritual problem. A spiritual problem. Thank God for the mothers who sense a spiritual dynamic in the lives of their children. You know? I've had moms come and talk, and they're so upset about little Julie or little Jack, and they say, you know, kids like 8, 10 years old, coming to Sunday school, going to Wana, going to church. And all of a sudden, he or she's just acting out and just being disrespectful and being sassy and obstinate. They say, "What in the world do you think is wrong with them?" I said, "It could be conviction." I've noticed children, when they begin to sense the conviction of the Lord, will kick at the pricks, at the goads a little bit. That's kind of the last effort in not knowing what to do, because they're getting sensations that they don't know how to deal with. They're being convicted that they are sinners, and maybe they don't yet know how to deal with this, but a godly mother can sense things that are spiritual things. She also saw a satanic problem. Now, I'm here to tell you that the devil is alive and well. Now, we battle our sins and our difficulties on three levels. We battle the devil and his demons. We battle the sinful world. We also I almost had a little Freudian there, didn't I? We battle our flesh. But she realized that something was going on with this girl that was beyond physical description. But she also did not lose hope. She saw a solvable problem. Of anything you can lose in your life, I think the thing that is the most devastating is when you lose hope. I think that's what gets you. All right. Let's look at this praying woman. She sought out Jesus. It tells us right here. Behold, a woman, verse 22, of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now, I'm going to throw this out to you. I don't have it on a note. But when something's wrong with your kids, it affects you. Huh? It's not always the same way, especially for, you know, pre-adult children, that something's wrong with mom and dad. It may or may not affect you because you're pretty egocentric at that stage of your life. No, not you. I'm talking about some little girl in another church somewhere. But we do. When our kids are in trouble, it's us. And he says, "Lord, don't just help my daughter, but help me." One of the problems, and I'm just going to throw this to you. One of the problems that parents deal with is taking responsibility for choices their children make when they are not at all responsible. You know? When your offspring acts a fool, that may or may not be on you. And regardless of who judges and who points a finger and all this kind of stuff, you need to let that go. Let me tell you why. We have a perfect heavenly Father. Is he at all responsible when we act a fool? If God's kids cannot always do right, how much pressure are you putting on yourself? Don't do it. This woman also went beyond her cultural religion. She was a pagan. Canaanites were pagans. They worshipped many gods. But yet here she comes and steps out of her cultural norm, even potentially, now this is debatable, but turning her back on her other religion to come to Christ. Now you might argue, well, she's just adding Jesus. Well, however you want to deal with it. But she went beyond what was not working to find someone that would work. And would to God that more parents today would do the same thing. You know what they say a lunatic is? Someone who does the same thing over and over expecting a different result. if you're trying the things of the world as your role and guide for raising your children and it's not working, guess what? Throw out Spock's book. I'm dating some of us now. And pick up God's book. She also left her past so her daughter could have a future. She left that stuff back there and came to Jesus and sought him out. Not only was she a praying mother, but she was a persecuted mother. Now, I think she was persecuted by this demon-vexed child. And if you've ever had a demon-vexed child, you know what I'm talking about. I'll probably do my Father's Day sermon on the man who comes up to the Lord and says, "Lord, my son's a lunatic. Can you do something with him?" That's King James. But she was a persecuted mother. The disciples wanted to get rid of her. Send her away. She's bugging us. I used a friend of mine, his mother passed away this week, and she'd reached out to me to get some information about mortuaries and crematoriums and stuff like that, and then said, "My mother's in this hospital. If you're around, could you go see her?" And I wasn't, but I went anyway. She died that night. And so you can think about that, especially difficult Mother's Day for her. I think the funeral's maybe tomorrow or this afternoon. But, and I had a point to all that, and I just lost it. What was I talking about? Glenn, help me. When I said I got a friend whose mother was in the hospital. What did I say before that? You weren't listening either. Okay. Yeah. The disciples wanted to get rid of her. Said, "Get her out of here. She is annoying us." The disciples wanted to be, I'm going to push this on them. Maybe it's too harsh. They wanted to follow Jesus and have their time with Jesus and learn from Jesus. They didn't want to be bugged with needy people. You know how I say sometimes around here we should pray two prayers? Does anybody remember what the two prayers are? Exactly. Send people to help us fulfill the kingdom. Not just help us, but then send people that we can help. The disciples, they want to get rid of her. Jesus was quiet. I mean, she's pouring out her heart. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Kurios, not Jehovah. "Son of David," identifying him as Jewish, and she's not. And then she describes the situation. "My daughter's severely demon-depressed," or demon-possessed. Jesus didn't say a word. I remember one time, I think this was on a TV show, Some person had invited a well-known playwright or something to come and view his play. And after it's over, he says, "Well, what do you think?" And the guy doesn't say anything. He said, "No, I really want to know what you think. And yet you're sitting there silent. I really want your opinion." He said, "Silence is an opinion." Silence is an opinion. Jesus is silent. How could she have taken this silence of Jesus? How could she have taken that? Talk to me. It's just us. Not interested. How else? What? Ignoring her? Could loss of faith and hope. You got two options here. One is either Jesus can't or Jesus won't, or I'm not deserving because I'm a Canaanite, I'm a Gentile. And he's going to kind of emphasize that term. I mean, it's going to sound kind of yucky. Get this. He tested her faith with this statement. Tested her faith. I think sometimes the more difficult thing in Christianity is not being tested by God when you know it's a test from God, when God's silent. which is the test, by the way. He tells her, I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's he saying? I'm sorry, you're not in my group. I was sent to the Jews, and you're obviously not a Jew, so be you warmed and filled. Persecuted. Here she comes to Jesus looking for help, and he says, sorry, you're not in my boundaries. But you got to give it to her. She was persistent. She wasn't going to let the devil have her child. Think about that. Now, I'm going to give you an opinion, and you can talk to me about it later if you want. I don't see a lot of demon possession in the world today. I see a lot of demon oppression in the world today. And if you look in the scripture in the Old Testament, you had some manifestation of demonic forces doing certain things. And later in the New Testament, you have some, but it seems to primarily be right at the time of the earthly ministry of Jesus, and then a little bit with Peter and Paul, and then you don't hear much else about it. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that during this time, when Jesus is living among us, that we read and know so much more about demon possession? Satan was desperate. And if you'll look, and you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. But in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And then it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil was desperate. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So God, in his power, gave the devil a little more what? Slack. A little more leash. So that he could show his power over Satan. But she wasn't going to let the devil have her child. She kept on seeking Jesus. She humbled herself before the Lord. After he said, I am not sent anywhere but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then she came closer, I'm going to add, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. The word for worship there literally means to fall down and kiss the hand. Proscutio or something. And it literally means you get down. You humble yourself, you worship, you cry out to God. It's often translated prayer as well. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. What's he talking about? Huh? It wasn't meant for her. What was a slang term for Gentiles that the Jews used? Dogs. Dogs. She knew that. She knew that. Jesus reemphasized it. It's not good to take the children, Israel's bread, and throw it not only to the dogs, but to the little dogs. Let me give you a funny here. My grandfather never would sell a dog because it says in the Old Testament, don't bring into the house of God the price of a dog. Huh? Yeah. My grandpa didn't go to church anyway. It's amazing what scriptures mean to people who don't really get in there. But the dogs. Now at this point, after he's told me, if I'm the mom, I'm sorry, I'm not sent here for you. And then she says, I can't give you what the children ought to have and drop it down to you, you little dog. He's testing her faith. He's testing her faith. And yet she comes again and says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Now, I read some study on this. I'm sorry, guys. I got something in my eye that's really irritating me. Huh? Yeah, I got a nurse now. I just wish I could get this out of my eye. Where was I? Yeah, I did some reading on this. Two things. Number one, the one idea was that the Gentiles would get the leftovers from the ministry of Jesus. Very much like the mustard seed that was planted and gave shade to all the birds under it. Another one said, the master, when he served the meal to his children, when his children refused to eat, what did he do? Took it away and said, if you're not going to eat, I'm going to give it to the dogs. Do any of you have a take it or leave it policy at your table? You know, that's changed over the years. That's changed over the years, I've noticed in younger families. But how fitting is it that that second commentator that I read after to the ministry of Jesus, because the Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. And at one point Jesus said, "Lo, I go to the Gentiles." This is one of the first things of this. This is a first fruit of that Gentile ministry. She was also a presented mother. Some of you were presented today with roses and food downstairs. She received the answer to her prayer. She was persistent. She was praying. She was persecuted. She was powerful. And Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The Bible doesn't even say her daughter was there. Maybe she was at home. She received the answer to her prayer. Her faith was rewarded. And let me encourage you parents as well. Even when it seems like all is lost, hang in there. Your faith will be rewarded. Her child was healed. The demon gone. In closing, the power of a mother. One of the powers of a mother is they see the true nature of things. They seem to be, in my home, more intuitive about things than I am. They see the true nature of things. They also realize that Jesus can make a difference. That Jesus can make a difference. I have a friend in another state reached out to me a few weeks ago and said, "Can you pray for my family?" I said, "Of course." They have a child who's making some decisions that are not good decisions and that will be potentially life destructive decisions. This mother realizes that Jesus can make a difference. And so she's calling on others to pray. The power of a mother is not being defeated by the world. The culture said, "Now you stay in your own spot. We're Canaanites, we're pagans, we do our things our way, don't get outside of that. You got to stay here." But yet she was not defeated by that. The devil vexing her daughter. She wasn't defeated by that. She was going to keep on going. And the power of a mother is believing in hope when hope is hard to find. Believing in hope when hope is hard to find. And I'm here to tell you today that hope is best found in Jesus. Let's stand together. Valerie's going to play something for us, but let's pray for our moms, pray for our dads, let's pray for our children. And this morning, if you need to trust Christ as your Savior, or you need to pray for your own children, we have altars here. I pray with you. You can pray alone. Whatever it is that you may need today, Jesus is the answer. Father, bless our time. Thank you for our mothers. Help us to be an encouragement to others. And never, never, never lose hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.